The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good afternoon or evening, wherever this broadcast finds you, or maybe even morning, depending. Welcome to the National Intel Report. I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, this Thursday, May 10th, 2018, and sitting in for John Stadmiller, obviously. It's going to be interesting, I think. We'll just kind of freestyle a little bit today. And there's some interesting things. I think that generally the subject matter will sort of center around the crazy times in which we live, because we are living in crazy times, you know. Saturday, April 28th was Independent Bookstore Day, and on that Saturday, Salesforce Chief Digital Evangelist Vala Afshar tweeted, "If you only read the books that everyone else is reading, you can only think what everyone else is thinking." That's a quote from Haruki Murakami, and I thought that was a good sort of illustrative quote of sort of where we find ourselves in America today. And it's not just now, it's gone beyond just the propaganda, you know, just the Bernaysian sort of propaganda. And you're a crazy person if you don't comport your thoughts and behavior to the propaganda. And obviously we've been seeing that for decades. Now we can't even have a civil conversation. We can have civil discourse in America, it seems. And that is, I think, evidence of our path to destruction or ruination. And we should be able to have a civil discourse and disagree. You know, you read the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers, for example, and you see folks who disagree on very important matters, but they can do it in a civil manner. And you know, folks like Benjamin Franklin wrote, "Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." And I think bad guys have weaponized that concept, or artful designing intriguers, as some, you know, have referred to folks like that, have weaponized that concept, you know, that if we can get people fighting and misbehaving, then they have more need of masters. And, you know, that's when we start to run into trouble. And so who among us is able to govern himself, let alone govern others, which is a point that Thomas Jefferson made in his inaugural address back in 1801, when he put it this way. He said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Technocrats would have us believe that we can't govern ourselves, even though our founding documents state very clearly that was the impetus on which this republic was founded. Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question." And obviously that's in reflection on the recent break, you know, King George III in particular, and what was going on then. But with the sort of, you know, the slight, have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? So, you know, we fast forward to today, and we seem to be less capable of governing ourselves, and obviously, you know, same applies to others, less capable. However, technocrats would have us believe that somehow, magically, they're able to govern miscreants better than they're able to govern themselves. No one has a more fiduciary obligation or responsibility to your well-being, my well-being, than you or I. And, you know, no one has a greater obligation and responsibility to our well-being than ourselves. That's a point that seems to get lost a lot these days. Anyway, we are living in crazy times. When I was in the mortgage industry, I used to publish a newsletter I called Friday Pearls, and I began every newsletter with some witty, apropos aphorism from Arthur Block's book, Murphy's Law, the 26th Anniversary Edition, published back in 2003. And in it, Block opens his chapter on statesmanship with Lieberman's Law, which states, everybody lies, but it doesn't matter since nobody listens. And I used to quip, but rather than a colorful colloquialism, today that seems like an almost ultra-conservative view, which is a testament to where we've come in just a few short years, because I was in the mortgage industry, well, I got out around 10 years ago, shortly after the subprime contagion. Anyway, it hasn't been that long, and it is interesting, though, since we live in a society increasingly categorized by a bunch of mindless shouters, it seems, and fewer listeners. More mindless shouting. Are you noticing that these days? Hard not to notice, isn't it? James 1:19 includes the following admonition. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. That sounds like good advice. But, you know, man, we're like a bunch of Mexican jumping beans these days, just jumping around, and it's just crazy. Or popcorn, you know, everybody's popping all the time. There are very few who are quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, is a point. In his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey wrote about the concept of the seventh habit was sharpen the saw. It was renewal, basically, and how to make sure that you're doing that effectively. But the seven habits were divided into two parts, really. The first part was independence or self-mastery, basically, and the second part was interdependence. The first second three were interdependence or interpersonal mastery, so to speak. And he talked about being efficient with things and effective with others. And he defined effectiveness as the balance of obtaining desirable results with caring for that which produces those results. In other words, it's not the psychopathic Machiavellian end justifies the means nonsense we've been inculcated into in America, particularly coming through the, you know, increasingly the second half of the 20th century into the 21st century. And he illustrated this by referring to the fable of the goose that laid the golden eggs. He claimed that effectiveness can be expressed in terms of the P and PC ratio, when P refers to getting desired results and PC is caring for that which produces the results. So there's a balance there. And you have to be thoughtful, obviously, and empathic. So he also talked about how around the turn of the 20th century, the old character ethic, right and wrong, good and bad, that kind of thing, was gradually replaced by the personality ethic, tips, tricks, and techniques on behavior, and, you know, generally categorized by Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. But the point here is in the interdependence, once you've mastered self, so to speak, to some degree, to some efficacious degree, if you will, the first three habits, be proactive, begin with the end in mind, put first things first. Once you've been able to do that to some degree, some measurable degree of success, next comes interdependence. And those three habits are think, win-win, which again bemoans the Machiavellian end justifying the means. Think, win-win. How can we all benefit from whatever is being discussed? Second, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And then third, synergize. So that's the fourth, fifth, and sixth habits. Think, win-win, seek first to understand, then to be understood, and synergize. So that sounds like good stuff. This number five, the second interdependent habit, seek first to understand, then to be understood, obviously speaks to the concept of effective listening. And that seems to be a forgotten, even lost art. From the Wikipedia entry on this concept, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Use empathetic, but I think actually the word is empathic, the better of the two. I would say use empathic listening, because empathetic reminds me of, I'm telepathetic, I can read minds. Anyway. So use empathic listening to genuinely understand a person, which compels them to reciprocate the listening and take an open mind to be influenced by you. This creates an atmosphere of caring, a positive problem positive problem solving. And this is not, again, this speaks to more of the character ethic and less of the personality ethic, less tips, tricks, and techniques, more character, more compassion, more empathy, and understanding, which is the right thing to do. And we shouldn't have to be told that, which is very odd. And it also builds trust, as he mentions. The habit five is greatly embraced in the Greek philosophy, represented by three words, ethos, your personal credibility. It's the trust that you inspire, your emotional bank account, as they put it. Pathos is the empathic side. It's the alignment with the emotional trust and other personal communication. Logos is the logic, the reasoning part of the presentation. The order is important. Ethos, pathos, logos, your character and your relationships, and then the logic of your presentation. So this speaks to a thoughtful, compassionate, empathic, caring, understanding exchange between intelligent, reasonable minds and hearts, for that matter. And again, today in America, we seem to have sort of lost sight of this forgotten art, have we not? I'm sure you've experienced what I'm talking about, and we'll maybe dive into this a little bit more. There are many different directions we could go with this, but anyone who has experienced, or perhaps better, recognized, because after all, if you're alive in America today, you experience this phenomenon on an increasingly frequent basis. But anyone who has recognized this and can articulate it will attest to the fact that this phenomenon doesn't just afflict the textbook narcissist. It's rampant. So anyway, the reason I mention that is because this point of effective listening, or ineffective as it were, has not fallen on deaf ears, pun intended. For instance, I'm reminded of the clip that we played yesterday on yesterday's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, from the YouTube video titled "Words Don't Work with Narcissists" from the Permission to Exist YouTube channel. And so here is the clip that I'm talking about. If you're ready, go ahead, please.
Don't deal with, interact with, devote time, or give time to entities or people who don't listen, and who words don't work with. And I'll end on this final point. I think one of the most detrimental things that movies and the entertainment media has ever done was fill those of us who aren't suffering with narcissism with the false impression that if you just put together the right combination of words, if you just find a way to say it, if you say it romantically or poetically or creatively, whatever it is, if you just find a way to say it, it'll register and it'll cause change within the person. It'll cause an aha moment. My personal theory is that aha moments are only possible with people whose minds have not been completely shut off and sealed off. Once your mind is shut off and sealed off, aha moments are not possible. And when it comes to narcissists, those minds are hardened up. They're firm. So you're not going to have that aha moment. It's like they have the ability to totally override learning. And I just think that's fascinating. I think that's worthy of study. They have the ability to pick and choose what their brain holds on to. I think it's amazing. I don't know if it's conscious. If it is conscious, it's really scary. But it might be more subconscious than conscious. But at any rate, they have the ability to not learn from things that they've seen over and over again and heard over and over again. And I think that that's unnerving and very disturbing, because it literally means that you could spend years with this person and get nowhere and remain in the same place, because learning is not taking place. It seems that narcissists have the ability to take in data and dismiss it. Narcissists have the ability to maintain the exact same mental state and information levels at all time without increasing it or decreasing it. It's stagnant, and it's part of the reason that words don't work. So be very careful with anyone who can't take simple explanations. Now, I will say that everyone is not necessarily good at expressing themselves, but what you want to look for is a person who will say to you, "I really don't understand what you're trying to tell me. Please, please keep going. Keep explaining. Use an analogy. Use a metaphor. But find a way." If someone is willing to hear you out and is trying to understand you, do them that favor of trying to explain it. But if you're met with someone who won't let you explain, or who cuts you off, or who interrupts you, or starts getting defensive before you can even finish your thought, that's someone who you probably need to dismiss from your life sooner than later, because you're not going to get anywhere. And it's not fun to always have to go into the primitive parts of your brain and, you know, draw it on a cave wall and act it out so they'll understand. That's what you do for children, because children don't understand language yet. They don't get it. But they start to understand, and the more they understand, the more they use it. Avoid those who words don't work on. They're dangerous people, and you're not going to get very far with them. And typically, these are also people who have to be taken all the way up to the limit of something before they learn from the consequences of it. They have to experience the absolute limit. Take care, everybody. I hope you're all doing well, and I grant you the permission to exist. Bye-bye.
Again, that's, I think, something that we've all experienced, is it not? And so, as I was saying a moment ago, you know, anyone who's experienced this or better, perhaps, recognized, so to speak, because after all, if you live in America's day, you've experienced this. And anyone who's recognized it and can articulate this phenomenon that she described will attest to the fact that it doesn't just afflict the textbook narcissist, or perhaps narcissists come in a variety of flavors and colors, maybe we should say. Media pundits, lawyers, doctors, politicians, Democrats, Republicans, on and on the list goes of the, you know, who we could describe as being afflicted by this phenomenon. Wouldn't you agree? We'll be right back after this short break. Stick around.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. You know, Charles Payne got in trouble. This, you know, again, listening, identity politics, all this kind of stuff. You know, and speaking of Murphy's Law and a slightly irreverent tone, statesmanship morphology, I guess, you know, the chapter on statesmanship, again, from Murphy's Law, the 26th anniversary edition, the second entry, Law of the Lie. No matter how often a lie is shown to be false, there will remain a percentage of people who believe it is true. And that's interesting because, you know, we have, well, I mean, where do you begin? You know, do you go back, for instance, to notable moments like 1967 when the CIA says that conspiracy theory is, you know, it's a psyop that the CIA introduced in 1967, that term, because too many people questioned the assassination of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And what's even more interesting was that, I mean, can you imagine the hubris of people that assassinate someone in front of hundreds or thousands of people in broad daylight, and then the whole world is encouraged to believe a lie? That's just unbelievable. And we get a few generations down the road, and what happens? Inevitably, bad guys know they're patient. You know, the old aphorism, everything old is new again, or the more things change, the more they stay the same. You know, Ecclesiastes, nothing new under the sun kind of thing. And, you know, the one quote that I always try to get out of my head that sticks in there, old school bad guy Aldous Huxley put it this way, that the charm of history and its enigmatic lesson consist in the fact that from age to age, nothing changes and yet everything is completely different. So bad guys know this. You know, they operate at glacial speed. They know over the course of time, you know, the people will adopt things, or perhaps, as John Wesley put it, what one generation tolerates, the next will embrace. So it's that kind of thing. So anyway, we live in a culture where there's less listening, more shouting, more mindless shouting, really. And more and more, our society seems increasingly divided, balkanized, and characterized by this pathology of what Alan Watt has referred to as the hysterical attention-seeking psychopath. And, you know, the sort of Veruca Salt mindset. I want it all. I want it, and I want it now, Daddy. That kind of thing. Anyway, Charles Payne apparently got into some hot water. It's interesting, you know, just the mindless shouting. I mean, so Michael Cohen's in trouble and SNL's making fun of that, and everybody's, you know, and then Russiagate and all the nonsense, and Chuck Woolery is tweeting, when did he, I don't remember, recently, I think today actually, yeah, Chuck Woolery, his blunt force truth radio and blog deal. He tweeted, Stormy Daniels' lawyer owes over $5 million in back taxes. So there's no, you know, intelligent dialogue that's happening. It's just a bunch of shouting. But Charles Payne got in trouble, apparently, and tweeted, my apology to Senator McCain and his family. This morning on a show I was hosting, and that's Varney and Company, I believe, a guest made a very false derogatory remark about Senator John McCain. At the time, I had the control room in my ear telling me to wrap the segment, and I did not hear the comment. People are asking if he's going to address it on air. I think he either has or is rumored to be doing that. Anyway, it was interesting. So the publication Contemptor, referring to the Mediaite clip, I believe, basically published the story, retired general tells Fox Business that torture, quote, worked on McCain, why they call him Songbird John. So, yeah, that's retired Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney. And the way that the Contemptor Post puts it, McInerney took the Cheney approach of cheerleading the use of torture in interrogations, and he used McCain as an example of torture working. And this is all just insane. I mean, unbelievably insane. We'll talk more about this when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, there were incidents and accidents. There were hints and allegations. If you'd be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal.
Welcome back. Bottom of the first hour, today's National Intel Report. Again, I am your guest host, Chris Hinckley, sitting in for John Stadmiller today, regular host of Road Warrior Radio, here on exclusively on Republic Broadcasting Network. And nonsense, I tell you. So Charles Payne apologizes for retired Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney's torture worked on Songbird McCain remarks. And, you know, it's just more evidence of mindless shouting. I mean, it's just crazy. And, you know, you got these guys. McInerney is one of those, I'm a hammer, everything's a nail, that's going to get hammered stuff. And we see evidence of that on Iran. And we could play Wes Clark's Commonwealth Club remarks in October. I think it was October 3rd, 2007. And again, you know, the YouTube entry for TV posted the 8-minute clip. Everyone refers to the Democracy Now! Segment. That's not the good one. The good one is the 8-minute segment that 4TV posted back in November of 2007, titled Wes Clark, America's Foreign Policy Coup. That's the good one. You know, that's where he explains, he elaborates more, you know, than just the quippy sort of, you know, thing that the crowd, the audience laughs at when he was talking to Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Back in March of 2007. Anyway, you know, it's no surprise that when you talk to someone like a Thomas McInerney, you're going to get a hawkish type answer, so to speak. But this is insane. And there is no intelligent dialogue. You know, I was thinking about it before today's National Intel Report when I was going to guest host. I was thinking, how come this broadcast isn't, you know, syndicated far and wide, so to speak? Why isn't it mainstream stuff? You'll be hearing things that sort of dismantle a lot of things. Balkanization, you know, the divide and conquer, divide and rule kind of nonsense, balkanizing people among each other and themselves. We'll probably play a clip from Bill Cosby in a little bit, maybe some of his, you know. So you start listening, you know, what did Prince say when he was on with Tavis Smiley, and what has happened to Tavis Smiley? You know, Tavis Smiley has been swept up in the Me Too movement, which I think is in large part a witch hunt. It's, if nothing else, it's at the very least, I think it's largely contrived. And so when I think of witch hunt, I think of a book written by a very intelligent, well regarded, generally guy who wrote a book back in the mid 90s. Actually, maybe I give you a couple of excerpts. Before we lead into this next stuff. So, and I'm constantly reminded of Romans chapter 1, particularly verse 18 forward. But I'm also reminded of, you know, before we leave the McInerney thing, this is what McInerney said exactly. Go ahead, please. Yeah, please.
Well, she can't use it anymore because we've determined the Congress that it's not legal. The fact is John McCain, it worked on John. That's why they call him Songbird John. The fact is those methods can work and they're effective, as former Vice President Cheney said. And if we have to use them to save a million American lives, we will do whatever we have to.
Sir, thank you very, very much. Really appreciate it.
Wow. That's just astonishing, you know? It leaves you kind of speechless, I think. I've been going through a series on Road Warrior Radio that I broadly categorize as the Death Cult Ideology series, and loosely paraphrasing, you know, it's the concept that Jesus spoke to in John 10:10, that thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And you'll notice that more and more things in American society are kind of categorized by this death cult ideology. We have, you know, Malthusian population control creeping into everything, eugenics, and otherization, an otherizing of people, at the very least, you know, Daniel Goldhagen's term, eliminationism. And it's a spectrum, basically. When you're trying to get rid of the undesirables, whether you want to deport them or have them, you know, ship them off to some island like lepers, or if you want to just exterminate them, you know, genocide, democide, as R.J. Rummel put it in his book, Death by Government. You'll find, I mean, you see it even in the symbolism, kids wearing clothing that has skulls and, you know, the Jolly Roger on it, basically, which reminds me of Ivy League pirates, basically, who, you know, have the same emblems at their alma maters. It's this kind of thing, you know, a culture that created an agency that is really accountable to no one at this point, that imports the most virulent strain of Nazi science. Really, it's a cult, you know, Thule society, esoteric occult ritual evil is what it is. Calls it science, even puts one of the war criminals on a Disney show. You know, and others in high positions of importance and so forth. It's interesting, you know, when you listen to the words of Thomas McInerney, and you reflect on the the Nuremberg trials, for example, going through the series that I went through, just to kind of put this sort of stuff in perspective, because, you know, I think we lose sight of that when we, you know, especially in this society today where, you know, as Richard Grove over at Tragedy and Hope puts it, America, according to recent studies, you know, the average American has an 8-second attention span, just 1 second less than a goldfish. To put this stuff in perspective, Gina Haspel in particular, when I mentioned this back in March on Road Warrior Radio, I was talking about Gina Haspel and all of the crimes against humanity that she's been a part of committing. And her defense is, well, you know, I was just following orders. I mean, you guys, Congress, you authorized it. So why is it my fault? Well, that didn't work at the Nuremberg trials. That's the Nuremberg defense. Now we're legitimizing the Nuremberg defense. But I guess why should we be surprised? You know, it's just the next step in the hubris is what I'm talking about. So with, you know, Gina Haspel and, you know, her, you know, Michael Morell basically exonerating her, saying, you know, we conducted an internal review. That's great. You know, criminals conduct an internal review and they decide that there was no criminal behavior. Shocking. Michael Morell conducts an internal review. She was just following orders from Jose Rodriguez. And so it's a bunch of finger pointing in a giant circle, which calls to mind certain things. Anyway, I won't be crass, not that crass. But here are just a few. Just to kind of put this in context, here are just a few of what are specifically, or what were specifically referred to as, or are, I should say, referred to as grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions. Which, by the way, Gina Haspel was instrumental in violating, has been instrumental in violating. So these are grave breaches, according to the Geneva Conventions, taking of hostages. Are there still people at Guantanamo Bay and other sites? There are still people at Gitmo that have never been charged with anything. Taking of hostages, unlawful deportation, transfer, or confinement. And, you know, all of this obviously is in direct contravention to our founding documents and the spirit of them, to say the least. Unlawful deportation, transfer, or confinement. Willful killing, torture, or inhumane treatment. including biological experiments. And whenever the subject of biological experiments comes up, you know, there's been a lot of talk lately, especially with, you know, the Timothy Cunningham stuff, and CDC wants $400 million more dollars, and, you know, some other stuff, the flu nonsense, which, you know, corresponds to both of the aforementioned. Biological, I always think of the remarks in the PNAG document, Rebuilding America's Defenses, talking about using bioweapons in Malthusian fashion, population control sort of fashion. That to me was evidence of psychopathy, criminal, you know, intent and psychopathy. Anyway, continuing, great breaches of the Geneva Conventions, willfully causing great suffering or serious injury to body or health. And for anyone who's paid attention to this kind of stuff, you will recall perhaps Dr. Martin Seligman's work. Jane Mayer, her book that's been like 10 years now. That's unbelievable. Jane Mayer's book, what was the title? The Dark Side? I want to say. Because she has the Dark Money book. That's not it. Yeah. The Dark Side, Inside the Story of How the War on Terror Turned into a War on American Ideals. That was always the plan. That was 2008, wasn't it, I think? Let's see. Yeah, 2008. So she wrote about, among other things, you know, Mitchell Jessen and Associates in Spokane, Washington, a CIA surrogate that helped funnel Dr. Martin Seligman down to the San Diego area to further indoctrinate, United States Special Forces and the JSOC folks that now are the tip of the P2OG meets R2P Spear, you know, Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, spun up around 2005 to go out and stimulate reactions, you know, poke the world in the nose. And when the world goes, hey, that hurts, then R2P kicks in. We have a responsibility to protect. Look what's happening in Syria. Israel says it's, you know, destroyed Iranian military materiel, and Israel is not welcome there. What is happening in this world? And all the while, you know, Wolfowitz doctrine in full effect, Oded Yanan plan in full effect. Anyway, so back to the grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions. Some folks will recall Jane Mayer, among others, in her book, The Dark Side, The Inside Story of How the War on Terror Turned into a War on American Ideals. In it, she wrote about Mitchell Jessen and them, you know, helping funnel Dr. Martin Seligman, who is the Mengele of our day, I would say, to train special forces in his learned helplessness theory. And they say it's, you know, it's part of SEER training. We just want to help people, you know, our special forces, if they get captured, know how to resist torture and, you know, different techniques. Baloney. It's training these guys in this nonsense. And so, you know, you have the picture of the detainee, you know, the Abu Ghraib sort of stuff, you know, detainee, outstretched arms, hooded figure, standing on a milk crate with electrodes on both hands, fingers, you know, index fingers and that kind of thing. That's Martin Seligman. Awesome. And the story used to be, but it was so ridiculously implausible that it got scrubbed from places like Wikipedia. But it used to be, you know, the story was that Martin Seligman and a colleague at UPA back in the 60s just stumbled onto learned helplessness theory by randomly and repeatedly shocking dogs. That doesn't sound very accidental to me, but I don't know, maybe I'm confused. So grave breaches of the Geneva Conventions. Now we've institutionalized it, is kind of the point. So willfully causing great suffering or serious injury to bodily health, taking of hostages, torture, inhumane treatment. willfully depriving a protected person of the right to a fair trial if accused of a war crime. Again, there are still many detainees at Gitmo that have never been charged with anything. Now, for provocative frame of reference, again, with McInerney's remarks in view, Gina Haspel's nonsense, consider the four indictments from the Nuremberg trials, which include participation in a common plan or conspiracy for the accomplishment of a crime against peace, planning, initiating, and waging wars of aggression, and other crimes against peace, war crimes and crimes against humanity. Those were the four indictments at the Nuremberg trials. You see what I'm getting at here? Anyway, stick around. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour of today's National Intel Report, this Thursday, May 10th, 2018. Some of the things, you know, so that's, I think that's all, you know, gosh, man, if we could just get that stuff in perspective, and everyone's shouting and no one's listening. Again, it's mindless shouting. So, gosh, man. I mean, just it's like layer upon layer of nonsense, or is it just me? Real quick, some of the things which the mainstream media, you know, of which the mainstream media won't remind you. Again, this should be a nationally, you know, syndicated and whatever broadcast, but you know, it would destroy certain narratives, wouldn't it? Some of the things of which the mainstream media won't remind you, and would you know, someone or other would prefer you forget. Like I was saying earlier, what did Prince say, particularly about Dick Gregory on Tavis Smiley? What has happened to Tavis Smiley, among others, recently, and Charlie Rose? What did Dick Gregory say, you know, about manganese and stuff falling out of the sky? And that was televised on C-SPAN. What did Dick Gregory say about Michael Jackson? Who remembers Dick Gregory's presidential run back in 1968? And conveniently, we no longer have Dick Gregory with us. I mean, sure, he was getting up there in years, but we don't have Michael Jackson either. We don't have Prince either, do we? We have the Reverend Jesse Jackson. We have Louis Farrakhan. What's the other guy's name? Jesse Jackson. And, you know, John Lewis was around in the MLK days. I sort of have a little bit of respect for John Lewis, but, you know, we don't have MLK. These people who say, okay, listen, I was an establishment guy, but, you know, it all sort of, this, that whole point, it comes back to Aaron Russo's remarks in that last video he did where he was saying, Nick Rockefeller, we were talking, and I said, you know, Nick says, we want to chip everybody, put money on the chip, and if you don't comply, you don't go along, you know, we just turn your chip off. And Aaron says, well, that's kind of heartless, man. Why would you do that? And Nick Rockefeller says, why do you care about those people, man? That's not your problem. Why do you care about that? So if you have a heart for the people, it's interesting because if you watch the Bobby Kennedy for President series on Netflix, part four deals with primarily the subject of the sort of conspiracy elements of his assassination. Five people get shot, you know, 13, 14 shots minimum fired, and yet Sirhan Sirhan has a revolver that fires eight rounds that were fired in under 8 seconds, and yeah. It's kind of like the Grassy Knoll deal, you know. I like that that scene in Shooter, you know, where what's his name, the old guy, you know, says the guys in the Grassy Knoll were buried in the desert minutes after the incident, and the guy, the kid says, "Can you prove that?" He says, "I or how do you know?" Something like, "How do you know?" And he says, "I still got the shovel to prove it." Anyway, crazy. Second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.